All right, welcome into the Cold Weather Bats 2024 team draft. I believe this is our fourth annual draft, I think. Yeah, I mean, shout out to former co-host Brian for originally coming up with the idea for drafts and integrating them into the show. They've been a hit for more reasons than one. And this year, we will have one guest picker joining Dan and I. It is Josh Bernberg, the head coach of West Bloomfield. He'll be our third picker. Josh, how are we doing?
Doing great. Very excited to get the text from you earlier today to join this. I always love listening to, so very honored to be a part of it this year.
Absolutely. We're lucky to have you, and thank you for taking the time. Josh, you guys had a phenomenal season last year. You've continued to have good seasons year after year there at West Bloomfield. What's your expectations for the 2024 squad, and how's it looking?
Yeah, we return a lot of really good players, and it's probably the oldest team that I'll have had at West Bloomfield since I've taken over. So a lot of experienced guys that have played some big-time baseball, and you know, they know what the expectation is. So we're going to hope to win a lot of games again and obviously hope to get over that hump come playoff time. You know, we're always in either the toughest district or one of the toughest districts in the state, and that does not change this year with Brother Rice in there. So and Bloomfield Hills and North Farmington. So it'll be another really tough one, and we'll be looking forward to it when that comes around in June.
So has St. Mary's now exited your district and welcomed in Brother Rice? That's a hell of an exchange.
Yeah, hell of an exchange is right. Yeah, St. Mary's is no longer in it. They're in there with the Waterfords and Avondale. So, Brandon, you got to get on these MHSAA guys, man. I see Cold Weather Bats is always calling something out on there. Can you tell them, man, what did Josh do or West Bloomfield do to those guys to piss them off so much, so maybe I can atone for it or something like that? But you know what? We're fortunate to always play really good teams, and it makes for really good baseball. And I'll never complain about playing really good teams. So we're blessed to have the opportunity at the end of the day.
For sure.
Well, that does go back to our seeding conversations, which we've had before.
Yeah, it'd be nice for them to seed, you know, more than just in the district, like even a little bit beyond the district to get better matchups, maybe further down the road. You know, not to complain too much, but it sucks to have top 10 teams in the state be playing in the district round. But obviously, that's the way it goes sometimes, just based on locations and how they've done it in the past. But feels like there's got to be a better way, maybe to do it in the future.
Yeah, and I know they started introducing seeding via the MHSAA website. We're not seeding, but the power rankings, I suppose, where they're keeping track with the NPR and all of that. And I think it's supposed to be some sort of test to see what it would look like if they were to implement it. And I think this year is, as far as I can tell from the language of the rules meeting we had, this year's supposed to be a test year again, but I thought last year was a test year and maybe they want to test it 2 years. I understand sample sizes for data. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they want to see it twice before they implement it, but I think we're all on board at this point. But I digress. That's a conversation, yeah, a bigger conversation to have another day, but at the same time, one that's relevant enough to bring up right now. But what we will be doing today outside of the usual, as far as covering Michigan high school baseball and all the ins and outs, is drafting the teams we think will be the best in the state this year. And the rules stay the same. If this is your fourth time listening, I believe we expanded it a bit maybe two seasons ago. I think we went to five because we added a picker. So it is five teams per picker plus one bonus pick. The only rule is you can't pick your team. All three of us here are representing a team. Dan's representing Grosse Pointe South, Josh is representing West Bloomfield, and I am representing Wyandotte. So those three teams are off limits for each of us. However, the other person, and if it's just for an example, if Dan were to draft West Bloomfield, that's completely legal. Josh just can't. I can't draft Wyandotte. Dan can't draft South. That should round up our rules recap, which is very simple. We try to keep it simple. And now we will go into what the order will be. And in the spirit of transparency and questionable radio, we will be randomizing the list live. So here we go. It's just the total randomizer, and that'll determine our order. So lucky for me, I am first, which probably is not a good look, but it is how it went.
I think you've been first every year. I'm almost
positive. Yeah, which is a shocker. The computers just love me, and so does Joe Mooney, wherever he's at. He just came to mind. He's won a huge golf match against Alex Mooney, so I had to shout him out in there. So I'm first. Josh, you're sandwiched in the middle there at two, which is a good spot to be in. And Dan, you are the wraparound guy. It will be snake style per usual, meaning is one really the best spot? In years past, when Orchard Lake seemed like the no doubt pick, sure. But this year is a much different situation as we know it. So I will start, and hopefully at this point in time, there is some sort of awesome music playing in the background leading into this pick. And I will debut the draft with this one. I have a lot of belief in Northville to win a lot of baseball games this year. So they are our number one in our Super 25. And I tend to agree, although the Super 25 sometimes has to be a collection of different voices coming to a conclusion. While I might differ on a couple of the numbers here or there, Northville is one I do agree with. I will take them at one for a variety of reasons. I think the head coach this year, Dan Cimini, is potentially that missing puzzle piece for them. They bring back Dante Norrie. They bring back Joey Broughton. There's a ton of other talented guys there as they have every year. So I will take Northville. I won't say an easy pick for me, but it is. I do believe they're the best team. Therefore, it is an easy choice for me at one. Dan, your thoughts on Northville? I know you've seen a lot of Cimini and the other dugout in your lifetime.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great pick. It's certainly one that I would have gone with as well had I been sitting at number one. I just I got to be careful here because I believe Northville was a well-coached team before, so I don't want it I don't want it to sound otherwise, but I do think that there's something to when a team seems to have almost all the pieces, but they haven't quite got over that hump yet. When they bring in that veteran coach that has won it all several times before, comes in with some new ideas, comes in with a history of performing very well, specifically in the state tournament. Dan Cimini's teams have never been anything but a very difficult out in the postseason. Very difficult. And I know that from experience once myself, and just in general from watching them over the years. If you beat them, you got to really bring it. And if you beat them, your team's probably got a great chance of winning the state championship if you get by them. So, I just think that's where it's at. To me, this is, I've mentioned once before, I think that this is like, you know, Larry Brown joining the 2004 Pistons. You know, Rick Carlisle was another great coach, but they brought in Larry Brown. They won the championship. It was just a little bit of a different look, adding a different piece that I really think is going to make a difference for them. And there's no automatic state champions at Division I. You know, they could lose just like anybody, but I think that they have an outstanding chance to have a great season.
Josh, you got any thoughts on Northville?
Yeah, no doubt. For the reasons you guys said, they bring back a whole lot from that junior class last year that's now seniors, and I know they probably got a sour taste in their mouth from their playoff loss. I think a lot of people were projecting them to either win the whole thing or at least get to East Lansing last year. And I'll tell you what, though, that district is hard as can be. That's got to be on paper going into the year. The best district in the state, bar none. If I read it correctly, they got Novi in there and they got CC. So that's going to be a hell of a district, and whoever comes out of that should have a great chance to win the whole thing.
Which is a perfect example of the seeding conversation we just had. I mean, three of those teams are, I believe, top 10 teams in our Super 25, the initial one. Two of them. Let's see here. Yeah. So, all right. Well, with that in mind, we pass it over to Coach Burnberg for pick number two of the first round.
Yeah. So to be clear on this pick for me, it would be between St. Mary's and Brother Rice. And just because Rice is in our district this year and St. Mary's is not, I'll talk about St. Mary's. First of all, they hired a great coach in DePonio. He was the coach back in the day when I was still in middle school practicing over at St. Mary's with my Hit Dog team and got to know him well. And great dude. Had the chance to coach against him last summer and, you know, obviously way before I knew he was going to be the coach at St. Mary's, and was able to have great conversation with him and knew if he got back in the high school game, wherever he went, would be a really great team and have a great chance to do some really special things. And now it just so happens to be at one of the top programs, not only in the state, but I still think you got to say Midwest and even country. I think they have a whole lot of talent coming back that for some reason, I think a lot of people are kind of overlooking. If they stay healthy, they'll have one of the best pitching staffs around without question. And they bring back some really good offense too in the Brcevich brothers. I mean, those are two of the better bats around, right, especially in our area here that I know of. They're going to be a really good team. I think every pitcher they throw out there, especially in league play, is probably one of the best arms in the state and can go win anytime, anywhere against anybody. So come playoff time, as long as they're healthy, I think they'll be as tough of an out as ever.
Yeah, you bring up a great point with their pitching staff. You know, Aiden Donovan might be one of the more overlooked guys in the state as a whole. He just a guy who's going to be dominant, I think, in college in due time. And he's been a huge anchor for them over the last couple of years, especially once that senior class graduated in 22. I mean, last year he won them a lot of games where their offense had slowed down there. Once they lost McKay kind of towards the middle of the season, he really stepped up in big games. So I have to echo your sentiment on the staff. Dan, I'll bring it to you for any St. Mary's analysis you have, and then you can take that right into your pick.
Sure. I'm not going to add a ton to St. Mary's. Obviously, they're the, you know, the class of the last 5 years. I think Coach DiPonio is going to do a great job. I know he's more than qualified to take them to the next era there. But that being said, there's always a question mark anytime there's a change. You know, they were quite the machine, and there's a change. You know, it's just always notable when there's a change. So, you know, there could be an adjustment period. Maybe there won't be. But, you know, that's just something. It's a talking point. Anyway, I guess I would leave it at that. I didn't necessarily expect to go this way with my pick, but if Brother Rice is still on the board, I'm not going to leave him there. So I will take Brother Rice. I hesitate to name a whole lot of players only because there's so many good players on that roster. I don't want to just leave people out. But, you know, the Vanamedes, Rupenthal, you know, I'm going to specifically mention Blake Illich, you know, for a couple of reasons. One, he's, you know, a Duke commit that's just a really high-end prospect. Two, he's a kid that grew up in Grosse Pointe, so I had a little more opportunity to watch him. Most importantly, I've just seen some video on him from the offseason, and it looks like he's bringing it just like crazy. I mean, his velocity is getting really serious. So, you know, I'm not going to leave Brother Rice on the board. They're in the toughest division in baseball in the state of Michigan. They're going to lose some games, I would think. They've got a tough district, obviously. They could really lose at any time, just like anybody, but with that roster, and I know they feel as if maybe they've underachieved in the postseason the last few years from what could have been, and maybe there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder there. You know, they're well coached. Bob Riker, who was a CMU Chippewa, which, you know, they produce a lot of great coaches. And, you know, I know Mike Steele does a lot of work with their pitchers. He was a very high-end arm out of CMU who knows a lot about the game. And, you know, I just think they're going to be well prepared, and they have a tremendous roster. I'm not going to leave them on the board.
Yeah,
anyone want to add to that? I know I have another pick, but
yeah, I mean, I'll add to it. I think you make a lot of great points, but Brother Rice is just one of those teams where they are consistently reloading, and I think the talent they have on that roster this year is as good as they've had in a few years. And Illich is a guy that, you know, pops off the charts with the numbers and is somebody who, going into this year, talking around baseball circles, could be ultra dominant. So, and we know how it works in this state. If you got an ultra dominant ace, you got a chance to get past a lot of teams. And when you have the firepower they have to support that offensively, I think it's a good recipe for some potential success.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Is Brother Rice ever not great? I mean,
right.
Since I've been around, I mean, they basically have, you know, a powerhouse of a team every single year. It's just a matter of how far they're going to make it come playoff time. They have one of the best coaches probably the state's ever seen. I think you could probably say that with the amount of great teams he's had, and that roster should be phenomenal as always as well. And I know they got a bad taste in their mouth from how they lost last year as well. So You got a lot of seniors over there again with some good underclassmen as well that they know what the deal is, and it's going to be a phenomenal team all season long and definitely come playoff time as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm really debating. Yeah, I'm really debating between two here, and I know whichever one I pick, I'm gonna regret leaving the other one on the board because I'll probably lose them. But you know, this might be a little bit of a surprise just because they're not right at the top of the rankings. But I was really impressed with this team last year in what was expected to maybe be a little bit of a down season for them, or at least a reloading season for them. But they still made a really nice run in the state tournament. I think they're prepared to go even further. I'm going to go with Grand Blanc with my next pick. You know, big school. They draw from a big area, geographically speaking. They've got some really good players coming back. Nathan Fidelino committed to Michigan State. Chris Worley is committed to Notre Dame. There's, you know, several other key players that'll be starting for a second year in a row with them now. And I think they're just coming to a place of maturity again. You know, they won that state championship back in, was it 2021 now? The years fly by. But with Lally and them, won the state championship at Division I, and I think they're in a place where they can contend for it again. So I'm going to go with Grand Blanc with my second pick.
Hey, Dan, you stole my pick.
Is that right? All right.
Yes. So that maybe hopefully makes you feel better.
That's it. It does. It does. Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon, I don't mean to cut in front of you, but I had to get that out of the way. Absolutely. First of all, I'm coaching with their head coach this summer, Hubs, who is definitely one of the best coaches in the state since I've taken over at West Bloomfield. Grand Blanc has been one of the best teams in the state every year, and obviously the state title goes to show that, and they seem to make a run every year, even if they don't win it all. So Trey Williams, Fidelino, Worley, they have a bunch of other guys that might not blow up like on the summer scene that are just like really good baseball players, and they have a really good culture there, and everyone seems to buy in. And each year it seems that someone you have never heard of ends up being a really good player for them. So I got a lot of respect for the way they do things. A lot of their players think that they may be even better this year than they were last year, which is saying a lot with the run they made and how many games they've won. So that should pretty much say everything you need to know. I think that's a great pick by you right there.
All right, good.
I think that brings it back to you, Josh, in the middle.
That makes things hard for me here because I was really dead set on being able to get them with my second pick. But you know what? I'll go with some rosters that I know well. I'll just go with Lake Orion just because that team unfortunately gives me some PTSD from what they did to us last year, knocking us out of the playoffs. They have one of the best arms in the state, without question, and probably goes beyond the state and maybe even a guy that could potentially get drafted in Gahan. He's disgusting from the left side. I mean, his velo might not blow anyone away, but he'll come from a three-quarter arm slot and throw a bunch of different pitches at you off speed in any count, and he'll rack up 14, 15 strikeouts and make it look easy in the process. So when you have a really good pitcher like that, you know, you have a hell of a shot to make a run, and now they have another really good pitcher behind him that just committed to Michigan State, and Sam Beamer that looks like he's going to take off this year. He's throwing a lot more strikes now, and his stuff is absolutely disgusting. They lose some really good seniors from last year, but they bring back some bats, and the younger McCartan, who's a stud, they have Womack back. You know, they're going to be really good. They have a coach over there that does things the right way, and they have made some really good runs in the past, including last year after beating us. They beat St. Mary's, which was a phenomenal win the way they beat them. And I think they'll have a great chance to make another run this year again.
Well, you know them better than I, so I have nothing to add. Yep.
Yeah, me.
You're up.
Unfortunately, me neither. This is a tough one. So if you've been listening to this show for long enough, you know I'm typically the one who takes up the shot clock when it comes to picking.
Are you that guy in fantasy football that waits till the seconds are ticking down?
When it's like round five, I think so, yeah. First four rounds, I try to be a quick trigger just because I don't want to overthink. You're kind of like splitting hairs at that point. But middle rounds, you know, like the Tank Dell pick, I still take pride in the Tank Dell pick.
You got two of them, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going back to back here. I'm gonna start with Zealand East too. Yeah, I'm gonna start with Zealand East. I got a lot of confidence in this team. because they play like a team. And I'm like a big believer in that. Like, I think talent is going to win you a lot of games at certain levels, but I think when it comes to high school baseball, and they have like plenty of talent, there's no doubt about it, but they have a ton of it coming back from last year. They were as high as, I believe, number two in our Super 25 last year, and they return a bunch of it. Coach Sattler does a great job. Coach Slachter does a great job there. They're in the Cold Weather Bats Invitational. Some key guys coming back for them would be like Trevor Rade, who's committed to Western Michigan, a first base left-handed pitcher. Max Salas going to Northwood, infielder, right-handed pitcher. College of Central Florida for their shortstop. Outfielder going to Cumberland's, catcher's going to Concordia, another outfielder's going to KZoo, a left-hander's going to college named Rose Holman. They've got another catcher outfielder hybrid going to Muskegon CC, and another kid going to Alpena. I mean, just a kid coming back, and Charles Lackney, the College of Central Florida committee, hit .453 last year. He had 17 extra base hits with 22 stolen bags. Another senior coming in this year, Austin Cure, who hit .385 last year. And the Solis kid we just talked about hit .443 while also being the ace of the staff. They're super deep. There's few teams out there with this type of depth that's not a private school. So I'm a big believer in Zealand East this season. The Chicks, also the best mascot name potentially in the state, if not for Zealand West, who are the Ducks. DUX. And we're getting a history lesson on that later this season when we get Coach Sattler back on the show. But you guys have any thoughts on Zealand East? I know it's a West Side team, but just curious if you guys got anything to offer there.
Yeah, shout out Max Salas. He played for me last summer. I mean, he's about as good of a kid and player as probably you're going to come across, you know, being able to coach in the summer and the spring. I mean, phenomenal player. Like you said, the ace last year, looks like he gains even some more velo in this offseason, so he should be even better. And he'll hit .450 again. There's no doubt about it. So I followed that team closely last year. I know they probably got knocked out a little bit sooner than they would like, just based off of how great the regular season was, but seems like a great pick, a team that's returning a lot that should have another really, really good season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were knocked out by Mattawan, who, you know, Mattawan's had a couple year run now of getting deep in the state tournament, you know, getting to the semifinals last year. And I think that year before also, or was it the Elite Eight the year before? I forget sometimes, but yeah, they've always seemed to have a tough game with those guys. And you know, otherwise, who knows? They could have gone, might have gone all the way themselves.
Yeah.
The next team I'm going to go with is I'm going to go with Flint Powers Catholic. You know, we'll probably one of the best rotations in the state. We've got them number one overall in D2. So I'm going to take a dip in the D2 pool. You talk about Grant Garman and the type of player he is and the supporting cast they have coming back from last year. A lot of returning talent. A team that's really, I think, honed in on winning a state championship this season after coming up short last year. Grand Rapids Christian loses Remington. And I understand they still have a ton of guys coming back for Christian, but they also lost their head coach. Forest Hills Eastern lost some firepower as well. I think, you know, Spring Lake with a kid like Zane Stahl will be really good. Country Day will be good. But I do think Powers is they're number one for a reason in our D2 top 20. So I'm going to stick with them here and take them as my next choice.
They were on my short list. They've got a lot of firepower coming back, and they were really good last year. So that makes all the sense. And that D2 is, we've talked about it before, for some reason out of the four divisions, D2 is always the one that feels like it's for the taking. You know, that's ever since Orchard Lake St. Mary's moved up to D1, D2 has always felt like one that was winnable for a team that had, you know, two or three really good arms. So, you know, that's where they're at.
Yeah, Powers bring back Garman as their number one pitcher again. Is that the play something up there?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Man,
yep.
That guy puts up some video game numbers from everything I've seen on him basically since he's been in high school. So if they got him back, I can see why you're picking them for one of your teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean that's probably one of the biggest factors is into why we had him at number one in D2. I mean, as you said, like the video game numbers are crazy. I think his ERA was like under 0.9 last year or something like that. So absolutely. Yeah. But we'll hand it to you, Josh, from there.
Yeah, so this team here, I easily could have taken them with my second pick as well. I'm happy to be able to get them, you know, coming back around here with the snake. And that'll be Detroit Catholic Central. They should be loaded again. I mean, another team that seems to just be really good every year. They were loaded last year. But again, in that really, really hard district. So, you know, again, whoever comes out of there, probably going to have a hell of a shot to win the whole thing. But listen, they got Aiden Shuck, Matt Einich, Asmussen, Rutherford, Mahoney. I mean, I know that a lot of people within that circle are real excited about what they have coming back this year. I can tell you firsthand from watching some of those kids play, that is going to be a very, very good baseball team. And you know, come playoff time, they'll be as battle-tested as anyone playing in that Catholic League. So a team to definitely keep an eye out for and could even potentially be in that top two in the Catholic League this year. I know they made the final sometimes, but it's kind of always been St. Mary's and Brother Rice, it feels, every year. Maybe they'll hop up into the top two this year and surprise some people and could potentially even win that league with as much good talent as they bring back.
Yeah, we've been high on them for a few years now, but like you said, that division of the Catholic League is just so hard to crack. You know, the two big teams that you mentioned, of course, but also the last few years, Liggett was really strong as well, and that made things tough on CC, but you're right. This could be the year for them for sure.
All right, I think that wraps it back to you, Dan.
Yeah, I've got the back-to-backs again. Well, first of all, the good news is one of the teams I thought about taking is still on the board, so I'm pretty happy about that. And I think I feel pretty confident about both of my choices here, actually. So in no particular order, first I'm going to go with Algonac, who I know nice. Cold Weather Bats had them as number one in Division III. I think – I don't know. I don't want to overstep here, but I think that was probably the easiest of the number ones to pick, maybe, you know, out of the divisions.
I agree.
So, you know, they were really strong last season and made, you know, made quite a run there in the state tournament. You know, they bring back a lot. Obviously, Josh Kastner is, you know, right there as one of the best players in the state. And, you know, that Division III in general, you know, that's another one that has felt a little bit open since Liggett went up to D2 last year. It felt like, you know, that was going to be somebody's for the taking. And this year, I just feel like maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Algonac for the taking. So I feel pretty confident there as this little contest goes. I think I have a real chance at getting a state championship right there by taking Algonac.
That sounds like a great pick. Yeah, sounds like a great pick. You know what, Brandon? I what are the exact – this probably is a good time to go over the exact rules for – is there any point system? Like,
that's a great question, Coach.
Are we just – is it more to just highlight the teams and the great players in the state?
Right. So the tradition is that I always come up with rules that we inevitably ignore. and the rules in the past have been – the biggest factor is their finish in the playoffs. The second biggest factor is the number of wins. So you can value that how you value that, because some teams, like we've mentioned, are in tough districts, but if they're winning, you know, 25 to 30 games, it might outweigh that of a playoff run. So right. In the past, every win has been a point, and then every playoff win has been 5 points.
Whoa. Okay, that's a lot of points. All right, got you. That's good to know. Right. So that looks like a great pick right there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for.
Kastner's awesome. I mean, Kastner is – he's as good as it gets when it comes to pitchers in the state, and of which we know this state is known nationally for its arms, right? And Kastner's one of the best. You know, if he ends up signing with the Wolverines, then I've got hope. Hope at last.
Yeah.
So, Dan, that's back to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit more provincial with this one. I don't know if that's the right word for it, because they're also kind of a rival of mine. But, I'm high. Maybe not quite. I don't know if I've picked this team before. But Mac Red, you know, I'm big on the Mac Red. I think this team, this is their year. You know, I feel like they've been gunning for this year. They've got a really good team. They've got Leonards around the infield, and they've got, I think, the most underrated pitcher in the state, Ty Jenkins, at the top of the rotation. Sterling Heights Stevenson, I believe the cold weather bats number four in Division One coming into the year. I think they have a really good chance to win this year. 2 years ago, they had a freshman core that started a little bit slow, which is understandable, but really got hot at the end of the year. And I think rattled off like 10 or 12 MAC Red wins in a row as, you know, largely a really young team. Last year, they kind of ran away with the MAC Red, got to the postseason and ran into another MAC Red team, Dakota, who knocked them off in the regional semifinal. Dakota, of course, went on to the semifinal, and that was just a, you know, that's a rivalry game where, you know, maybe the underdog won, I guess, in some people's mind, with Dakota winning that game, but really just ultimately two really good teams. And, you know, Stevenson has probably got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder from that one. They've got a veteran team now coming back, and Hall of Fame coach Joe Emanuel. Of course, I'd love to, when we play a series against them, I'd love to beat them all three if we can, but that's going to be a tall order, and everybody knows that. So I'm going to go with Stevenson.
Yeah, Dan, as good as they're going to be this year, and they should be great, top five team in the state, it looks like on paper, they could be just as good the year after too, which is scary.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. a really strong team. You named all their top players. Ryan Rumbles, another guy that I'd throw in there that will probably be in the outfield again for them this year and might get some more innings on the mound to add to that really talented rotation. I haven't seen the Jenkins kid pitch live, Dan, but man, I followed that team closely last year, and it seems just about every time that kid throws, they have a hell of a chance to win, and he puts up some big time numbers against some really good opponents. So and you know how good the Leonards are, and you know there's a lot of really good players just on that side of the state in general, and they always seem to be really good. So I'm surprised they made it this long, to be honest. They probably could have went even earlier, and yeah. Looks like a great pick taking those guys, especially,
you know, and I'm gonna get on my soapbox again for a minute if you guys don't mind, but the Jenkins kid, he's to me a classic example of something that might be wrong right now in the recruiting process. And, yeah. You know, he's going to pitch in college, of course. And, you know, I know he's going to pitch for a while, but the fact that he doesn't have a fastball at 93 doesn't mean he's not a good pitcher, you know? And if, you know, if he pitched in 2 years, if he pitches against the University of Michigan or he pitches against USC or whoever, he could win. You know, he knows what he's doing. He spots the ball. He's got a nice slider. He adds in some tracks. And, you know, he knows how to pitch. And I just don't think enough guys like him are getting recognized. And I think there's going to be an adjustment period at some point where colleges pay a little more attention to these guys whose fastballs might be at 83, 84, you know, but they keep beating everybody. I mean, that's the thing, is they keep beating everybody. And we all know how many pitchers are out there that are 90-plus that seemingly lose all the big games. They seemingly get knocked all over the yard for some reason, or they walk, you know, two guys an inning or whatever. And I just think that there's some guys getting missed that are pretty good. And he's one of them that hasn't gotten enough attention, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you make a lot of great points there for sure.
I'm seeing college baseball scores at the D1 level in the right. 20s and 30s. So maybe some coaches need to start listening to you, Dan. You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Right. And we had a pitcher at Grosse Pointe South last year. I mean, we were five outs from going to the Final Four, and our best pitcher was a guy whose fastball was at 75 or 76. His curveball was at about 59, you know, but he came from a bunch of different angles. He moved the ball around all over the place. He looked awkward, and he just beat everybody, you know. And I'm not saying that he should have been signed by Notre Dame, but I'm just saying there's a lot of guys disrespected that are pretty good pitchers now.
No doubt.
All right, that brings it to you, Josh.
Do I dare say, fellas, that we've almost disrespected the defending state championship matchup last year a little bit?
They're on
Novi.
Yeah, yeah, they're both on my board. I wasn't going to let them go long, but go ahead.
All right, shout out down. I'll go downriver for you, Brandon, just because.
All right.
Well, we're going to go with Woodhaven.
Wrong direction, though.
What'd you say?
I said wrong direction, though. You got to go a little bit more south.
All right, my bad. But hey, I'm gonna go Woodhaven. This is why. I know pitching might be a little bit of a question mark right now for them, and I'm sure they'll figure that out as they go. They have one of the best coaches in the state in Coach Farner. But I will tell you this for sure, is that offensive lineup is going to be one of the best offensive lineups in the state, bar none. I've seen those kids play. I've seen those kids dominate at the travel level against some really good school, really good programs. They are going to have a really good offensive lineup. Jake Wright, one of the best hitters in the state, without question. Gary Pilgrim, one of the best hitters in the state, without question. And then you had Jace Davis, Dante Perry, Andrew Phillips. I heard they have some freshmen over there that are good. That is going to be a really tough lineup every single day, 1 through 9, where if they get some pitching and guys that can throw strikes and just make teams put the ball in play, they're going to be a really tough out. And, I mean, guys, they are coming off a state championship appearance. So I think we got to give them at least a little bit respect.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. The only – I don't even want to call it a knock, but the only question mark, as you can see my cat trying to make his way into the show, the only question mark is, you know, is the staff, the pitching staff. But yeah, Cam Thorning enters the lineup too, the left-handed hitting catcher slash outfielder slash might be a third baseman, super uber athletic. You know, Farner's son, Lucas, is he's a stud, you know, middle infielder who can also do it on the mound, super quick, twitchy hands, fast on the feet. Out for the year, unfortunately, but a kid who's going to help them in the future. But that freshman class is loaded for them, and Thorning is one of arguably one of the 5 to 10 best players overall in the state and his class. And he's a guy I expect to start for them and potentially be right in the middle of their order right off the bat. And we already, you know, spotlighted how loaded that lineup is. So that speaks for his talent and his capabilities. If you guys watched the Little League World Series run from Taylor a couple of years back, he was the one of the stars of the team, but he was the hitter. I mean, the left-handed hitting catcher who put a few over the wall. I know it doesn't really translate to high school, but for reference, he's been doing this for a while. So
I think it translates in the sense that they have something between the ears that allows them, and the heart, you know, that allows them to play in big games, and they don't allow the game to speed up on them. I mean, that's national television. There's a lot of guys watching. I know that same kind of thing benefited Liggett and Grosse Pointe North, you know, as they had long postseason runs. Also, having those Little League World Series guys on your roster, I think does say something, you know, a few years down the road. It says something to their character and how they can handle, you know, stress and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point, actually. And that group had a ton of it because they went to the Junior League World Series final too and lost to Chinese Taipei like many teams before them had. So that brings it around to me, and I feel really good about this choice. I kind of had my eyes on them for a minute here. I'm going to go with Mattawan, a team that went to – did they make it to the final or the Final Four? I believe it was the Final Four.
They lost it. They lost to Novi. They lost to Novi.
Yeah.
Novi.
It could have went either way too. Yeah. A great game.
Yeah. So they bring back the Jomini kid. They bring back Garza. I believe he was the ace for them last year. Great team, great coaching staff. Maybe it goes unnoticed on this show because we're on the east side and we tend to highlight the east side or talk about the east side maybe a little bit more than we do the west side. We've tried to even it out over the last couple of seasons, but I will put some self-awareness on the notation that Mattawan is a team who's sort of perennial at this point. They just seem to always be in the mix. They always compete. Garza's committed to Ball State, 6'1", 190, had a terrific season last year. He was their MVP en route to a Final Four last year, and multi-sport athlete. So one of those guys who I think is really going to compete at a high level. And then you talk about the Jomini kid, who's arguably one of the best in his class. He comes back for them. Yeah, he's committed to Michigan, another kid over 6 foot. He's a Hit Dogs kid, so you know the obviously last year they made it to the state finals, so or the state semifinals, so he's been on a big stage, but you also take into account he's playing really high-level travel ball. It's things you love to see. Two-way player, maybe an ace this year, 1-2 punch for them. I don't know, but I love what they return. I love what they did last year. I like how hard they play and the competitive drive they have. So I'm going to go with Mattawan. You guys got anything to offer on Mattawan?
No, I mean, I mentioned earlier that I've been impressed by the 2-3 year run that they've had now. And a lot of times you see that out of a program, you know, 2 or 3 near misses, and then they kind of take that last step. You know, that could be the case with them. Good choice. Good choice by you.
Yeah, I know that they appreciate were like that. A pitch or two away for going and playing for a state championship last year. So you know how thin those margins are in those games. So no, great pick, and they bring back a whole lot of good talent. So it looks like they could be right back in the same spot this year.
So that means I got a back-to-back pick here, if I'm not mistaken, right? And then I end it of my wild card pick. So with my fifth pick, so my last pick of my, I don't know what you would call this, the regular rounds. I'm going to go with Anchor Bay. Shocked they made it this far. I mean, yeah. Talk about a loaded team.
The only reason is I thought maybe you guys just would forget about them because we don't. It's not like we've talked about Anchor Bay for years. Right? I was waiting till late on Anchor Bay, but I would have taken them.
I mean, this team is going to be good this year, but Josh, you pointed out a team earlier who Stevenson, that'll be good the next couple of years. But Anchor Bay has got two of the best juniors in the state in Finkbeiner, Michigan commit, potential draft guy, fastballs like 92, 93, a lot of feel for the secondary stuff. And then Isaiah Domi, who's just like lit the world on fire this year. He tested really well, runs it quick. Like I think he had like a 6.6 or a 6.7 run. Huge power, extremely athletic for his size, probably the top power bat in the junior class, if not one of the top power bats in the junior class, Michigan State commit. But don't overlook guys on their team. Like we know all that we know in Michigan high school baseball, Orchard Lake St. Mary's is run where they had all those power five guys. I don't know if that's going to happen again. This team has kids committed to Calvin College, St. Clair Community College, Albion College, all these commits in their class, in their senior class, to go along with this high powered junior class. It's just a recipe for a team that I think can make a run. I think that they're in the Mac White, Dan, and I believe that's the one below your guys' league, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Grosse Pointe North has won it the last couple of years, and St. Clair has been a player there as well.
And those are three great teams, and any of them could win that. But my choice for the team to win that this year would be Anchor Bay. I think Jared Beesbrook is among the best, most overlooked coaches in the state. The amount of thought and just like meticulous work that goes into how he builds a team and how he plays how he coaches the game and how he builds a lineup. He's very detailed. He's an amazing human, and I think he builds relationships really well. And those things matter. So I will go with the Tars of Anchor Bay, who we will be playing at the house that Dan Griesbaum Jr. built, Jimmy John's Field, on April 20th. So if you're free, we're under the lights at 5 and 7 p.m. So excited to see them there, and they will be my fifth choice before it wraps back around to me for the wild card. Josh, if you got anything to offer on Anchor Bay, go for it. Otherwise, it's your choice.
Yeah, how many teams in the state can say that they have two Power Five commits on their roster? I mean, that's that, you should be really, really good. And like you said, they have a phenomenal coach, so you know they're going to play the game the right way. And they should have a really good year. So, yeah, probably surprising they lasted this long, but great pick there. All right, Brandon, is this my fifth pick, just to make sure I know where I'm at here?
Yep, this is your fifth pick. You've got St. Mary's, Lake Orion, CC, and Woodhaven so far.
All right. Well, I got to go back to the OAA since you guys are haters and won't take anyone from there. So I'm going to have to carry that league for us again. I'm going to go Seaholm, which pains me to do just because I probably view them as a rival for us. I don't know if they view us as that because I know they have Groves and stuff like that. But all I can tell you is that I may view them that way, but I have a whole lot of respect for them and the roster they have. I played against those kids my first year coaching at West Bloomfield. They were all freshmen playing on varsity. And I remember telling a lot of people that team is going to be really, really good soon. And as juniors last year, they knocked off Brother Rice in the district, which some people probably viewed as a huge upset. I know they probably didn't, just because they had a great team and had a great regular season. And I think those kids expected to win that game. And now they're all coming back as seniors. So as far as the class of 2024 goes, I don't know many schools that will have a better class than Seaholm has for that grade. So the Kinney twins are awesome players. Schenefeld, Robbins, they got another arm that a lot of people don't know about, and Iman Kernan. They're loaded, and we're back in their league this year, so we play them three times. And it's toward the end of the year, so I'm hoping a league championship is on the line. And it should be some great baseball out there with a lot of really good baseball players, and I'll be looking forward to that when the time comes in mid-May.
It's a great call. Yeah, that was one of the great – one of the great upsets of the postseason. Sorry to interrupt you there, Brandon, but one of the great upsets of the postseason, man. I mean, to the rest of the state, That was a shocker. You know, I know, like you said, Seaholm was a good team. I'm sure they were not surprised that they won that game, but to the rest of the state, that was like, wow. You know, I mean, that was one of the games of the postseason last year.
Yeah, that team was awesome to have made that upset. That was a crazy day. I don't know if you guys remember that day, but that day was nuts.
Yeah, so I remember that day, unfortunately, Brandon.
Yeah, well.
It was a tough day for some of us.
Oh, it was a tough day for us. Don't worry. We had to play a team with 14 seniors, and we had 14 players. So if that's any consolation to our matchup we had last year. But yeah, great team. Josh kind of put the Batman signal out on them a couple of years ago and told me about them. And sure as shit, they ended up being just as good as we were forewarned. So that brings it to you, Dan, for a double dip. And I believe this wraps you up. Yep, this will be your last two choices.
Yep. I feel like there's a lot of really good teams on the board still. It still feels difficult. I'm gonna start with Bay City Western. They were a top three team last year. I think that's kind of safe to say. I lost a little bit earlier in the state tournament than I think anybody expected, but they have a lot going for them still this year. Luke LaCourse committed to Michigan State. Aiden Robinson committed to Northwood. Jack Sequin committed to Saginaw Valley. Neitzel going to Mott. Reese Southern going to Alma. There's a lot of pieces still coming back. I think they have a really top coach in Tim McDonald, and doesn't quite get some of the recognition because they're in mid-Michigan like that. But he's a guy that, depending on how long he wants to coach, I mean, he's not that old. So he's closing in on, I believe, 800 wins, or he already has 800 wins. I mean, he's right there. I don't have that right in front of me, but he's right there. And he's got a lot of coaching left to do. I mean, he's going to be a 1,000-win guy for sure. He's had a lot of success there. And I just think that's a team that's going to make a lot of noise again. And I would never feel anything but great about taking Bay City Western in the draft.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's a team we highlighted a lot last year. They were number one. They were the first team to be number one, not named Orchard Lake St. Mary's for, I believe, the extent that the show had existed until that point. So a historic ranking that week. Obviously came up short in the postseason, but returned a lot of talent. Josh, anything on Bay City Western?
Yeah, another team where you kind of think, are they ever not really good? I mean, most years, right? It just seems like they are just really, even in a down year for them, they still win 25 to 30 games. So yeah, really, really good team that has been good as long as I've been around high school baseball. So I would expect nothing less from them again this year.
And don't get it twisted. I mean, they had a disappointing postseason last year, but they are a team that has had a lot of postseason success. In fact, they're the only Division I back-to-back state champion ever. There's never been one besides Bay City Western 2013 to 2014. Never in Class A, never Division I, the top level of the state. There's never been a back-to-back champ. So
yeah,
that's something that Tim McDonald can always hang his hat on.
Yeah, Brandon, you remember when they beat Brother Rice in 2013 in the state championship when it used to be at in Battle Creek?
The
day we were in high school. Those Bay City West, so that was when I was in high school. So I have even extra respect for Bay City Western and the way they play. And seemed like they always would beat teams that might have kids that have a lot more recognition and maybe even more talent, and they find ways to win games. So the coaching that goes on there and the culture and buy-in must be top-notch as can be.
Yeah, I mean, that 2013 Brother Rice team, that was definitely considered the heavy favorite. And we had, with Grosse Pointe South, we faced them in the first ever state championship game at Michigan State the following year. And we knew they would be good, but the word on them was that, you know, they're not nearly as good as they were last year. You know, they were more talented last year. You know, and I'll tell you, they were still pretty darn good. You know, I don't know how many D1 guys they had on the roster. I really don't remember, but they just played the game the right way. They didn't make any mistakes. They got all the bunts down. They moved all the runners, and they beat us like 6-2 in a kind of unremarkable game. But you know, they just played great. That's just kind of how they do.
Yeah.
My bonus round pick. So, you know, bonus round is always kind of set up in a way where maybe you could go a couple different ways. One, you could grab a bunch of what you consider to be easy wins, you know, by taking a team that wins a lot of league games, or maybe you could take a team that's got a chance to win it all, but they have a tough road. So that's always kind of the way that I've thought about the bonus round. This one's a little bit different. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to take this team just because they're left on the board and because they won the Division I state championship last year. And that's it. You know, that's why I'm taking them. I'm taking Novi. I'm not going to leave them there. We're going to see them in Florida next week, and I'll look forward to getting a good look at them in a scrimmage there in at Dodgertown against those guys. I know they're still really good, and they won the Division I state championship last year, and I'm going to show them the respect of taking them, and I feel pretty good about it, and I think I have a chance to get some points with them again, and that's I'm not going to over-explain it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that both teams that were in the D1 state championship got picked in our thing because they both return a whole lot of talent. I mean, they really do. Yeah. We all know how hard it is to get there and how special of a run it must be to win that many games to even get there. So when both those teams return so much, it's hard to leave them out of something like this. And listen, they have one of the best left-handed pitchers in the state, in the Midwest, whatever you want to call it, that kind of just blew up during the playoffs last year. I don't know if a lot of schools even knew who he was, but Uli Fernsler, I mean, when he's pitching, they got a hell of a chance to win. Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he kind of like pitched on few days rest there, barely like got through the MHSA rules on how many pitches he was allowed, and was just kind of a workhorse for them. They had some injuries too on that pitching staff that was loaded last year, and kind of did it shorthanded, which is even crazy with the teams they beat. So with them being kind of so close to us, only 20 minutes away, I keep up with them every year, and the run they went on last year was probably one of the best runs I've ever seen since I've been following high school baseball. So they bring back a whole lot of talent too. So they'll
The injury you're alluding to is Bennett, right? And Bennett comes back. The Clemson kid.
Yeah, I just don't know what his deal is because I think he had Tommy John. I don't want to say that for sure and be wrong about that, but I think it was something pretty serious. And even Abler for a minute was injured during that playoff run. He came out of the game early, and guys came in and got the job done. It was just an unbelievable run, and they didn't have an easy road. They beat all the top dogs to get there. So a special run. I'm glad they got picked in this because they sure as hell deserve it.
I think my reluctance in taking them or in taking many D1 teams is just based on the sheer fact that I know how hard it is to win in Division I.
Right.
You know, you can be a team with 6 to 10 college commits and it just doesn't happen for you that year. There's just so much competition and anything can happen in the state tournament. It's sometimes it's easier to take a really high end D4 team or D3 team. You just feel like you're going to accumulate a better record and you have more of a sure thing going as far as getting to the Final Four as opposed to taking a Novi. But I'm going to take them just based on their returning talent and the tremendous run they had last year.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, that brings it to you.
Okay, I don't know if this team is in a league or not for sure, but I know they have a hell of a chance to win the state title every year. So I'll go with Detroit Edison. I know they bring back a lot of talent. A couple names that jump out at me are Waterman and Marwin Matthews. I mean, they just seem to be good every single year. Since I took over at West Bloomfield, they've always been one of the top teams in the state. They churn out Division I talent. They've had draft picks. They always seem to make a run in the playoffs. You know, they got by Liggett that one year and made a great run. I just think it's a team that is always really good. They have a shot to win a state championship. They should rack up a lot of wins. I feel like it's a safe pick here with my bonus pick.
Yeah, you're right about you're right about the wins too. They're going to have a lot. They're going to get a lot of wins for sure.
Yeah.
And I would agree it's a safe pick. They're absolutely a team that can win their state title in their respective division. We have them second in D3, right? And you talk about Algonac maybe being the easiest choice at number one in D3, but Edison is as we know, anyone can beat anyone in a one game setting, but Edison's definitely equipped to do that versus Algonac for sure.
I thought Edison's win at Liggett 2 years ago, that was probably one of the only examples I can think of where like maybe the second or third best team in division in a division beating the best team in the division still felt so shocking. You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't have been a huge upset, but we're just not used to seeing Liggett lose a Division III game, and it just felt, you know, it felt shocking for that reason, even though they were really talented, but they just really, they showed something that day.
Yeah.
And then Liggett properly the year after goes to a D2 state final, right? So if that's any consolation, how big and monumental that win was for Edison, that's definitely a good reference point. That brings it to me for the final choice here of the 2024 Cold Weather Bats team draft, and I am also going to take us downriver. Josh, I really wanted to pick your team, quite honestly, but I just have a hard time leaving Allen Park off the board. They were the first team to go undefeated in the Downriver League in the history of the league last year. They return guys that are, I mean, you would not have guessed this, I don't think, without knowing the Downriver League in and out, but they have five commits on their team, seeing the senior class: Davenport University for Camden Johnson, Kellogg for Jacob Stickler, Santana Villarreal is going to Henry Ford, left-handed pitcher Jerry Kloss is going to Kellogg, and then their catcher Gavin Bowley is also going to Henry Ford. And, you know, Camden Johnson hit .385 with a .520 on-base percentage last year, stole double-digit bags, had double-digit extra base hits. Stickler was a two-way guy who slashed .365, .500, and .646 with a 1.04 ERA on the mound. Villarreal is a premier middle infielder, one of the best downriver. I think Jaden is right up there with him, our guy at Wyandotte McGowan, but Villarreal is also one of the guys. Woodhaven's got a guy as well. And then the real big X factor, I think, is the fact they have Kloss, you know, to go along with Stickler, a left-hander who went 5-1 last year with a save in 42 innings, 1.30 ERA, should be the ace this year. I think they're a loaded team. I think it's hard to look at a team that goes undefeated in their league last year, racks up, I think, 28 or 29 wins a year ago. They lose to Woodhaven after sweeping Woodhaven in the regular season. They lose to him in the regional semifinal in a comeback effort for Woodhaven, which was kind of the story of their playoff run last year. Glenn Gulliver is in like what feels like year 50 for him. He's been a tremendous coach for decades, and so much so that the field's named after him. And I just have a hard time not going with the Jags. They're my pick to win the league this year. I think we have a loaded league. I love, you know, Woodhaven's lineup. I love Trenton's rotation. Allen Park feels the most complete.
Dan, when Brandon gets going on the Downriver League, there's almost nothing to even add after that, right? I mean, he kind of covered everything right there in those few minutes. But what I will say is that they should be great again. And as you alluded to, they swept Woodhaven last year in the regular season, and then Woodhaven got them in the playoffs. You all know, everyone loves to say it, it's hard to beat a team three times, and it came true last year in the playoffs. And it's the best part about the playoffs, and the worst part about the playoffs is Allen Park. I think they went undefeated in that league, Brandon, right, last year. And no one probably even, you know, I hate to say it like that, but no one will remember it, right? Everyone's going to remember Woodhaven beat them come playoff time and went to the state championship. But there's a lot of really good players on that Allen Park team. For my time in the D-backs organization, a lot of those guys were on Casey Johnson's D-backs team, and they were always one of the best teams in the state and competed at a national level too. So, and I think they're all seniors now for the most part, and Brandon would know better than me, but that team should be loaded again come this spring. Yeah.
Yeah, and they got a sophomore in Brody Metallic. Shout out G Brand. One of the friends of the show here. You know, he's the only sophomore on the team, and you know, he's a D-backs kid as well and should make an impact right away for them. And they're just loaded. A lot of good players, awesome coach, great staff. You know, Josh, you mentioned it, I'll say it again. I am very high in our league this year. I think we have Southgate's a team I could have picked. Trenton's a team I could have picked. I am partial to the Bears. I think we will be good, but again, it's a great league. Allen Park is probably the best if I had to pick one. So to recap, that is the Cold Weather Bats 2024 team draft. That is our fourth edition. Sounds crazy to say. Very, very, very deep draft, as it is every year, as it has been since we started it. This year felt like one that was a little bit more fun because there's no big shadow that St. Mary's casts. And I think last year might have been the first year where it wasn't there, but this year kind of feels like it's all evened out a bit. To recap here, let's take a look. I started us off with Northville and rounded it out with Zeeland East, Flint Powers Catholic, Mattawan, Anchor Bay, and my bonus team was Allen Park. Dan went with Brother Rice, Grand Blanc, Algonac, Sterling Heights Stevenson, Bay City Western, and Novi. And then Josh went with Orchard Lake St. Mary's, Lake Orion, Detroit Catholic Central, Woodhaven, Seaholm, and Detroit Edison. So we will get this graphic up on social media so you guys can all see the visual of what that looks like. We'll do our best to keep track of it, but it will likely be something we recap at the end of the year. I'm sure my fellow drafters will send me any notes on who wins big games that they drafted. Typically around playoff time is when we start talking about it. Josh, with it being your first time drafting, usually Dan lets us know around playoff time his teams are hot. That's typically how it works. I think you've won like each one, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I don't know. I think Sac was pretty good as well. I try to hang my hat on the postseason, and you know, I have some success there usually.
But it's a good time to hang your head on it, right? That's what matters. Right. So, well, before we sign off here, fellas, do we have any final thoughts? Maybe any teams that you're like, I wonder if I should have picked them. Josh, you're here, but all the same, like your team, I almost picked them like twice. Do you guys have
no,
any?
No, Brandon, give us the bulletin board material, please.
I figured that's what it was. Don't worry, nobody's talked about Wyandotte baseball in like 10 years, so I'm with you on bulletin boards.
Exactly, you need it sometimes. Listen, I got to come on here and say all these great things about teams we're gonna play, and West Bloomfield didn't get picked, so it worked out perfectly for me. And I'm hoping that we get a little bulletin board material out of it too. You know,
absolutely. And when it comes to playoff time, you can let us know.
I'm hoping, brother. I'm hoping.
I think it's unusual when. We've had situations come up where coaches get mad that we didn't talk about their team or we didn't pick their team or whatever. And I find that a little unusual just because I agree with what Josh said. I sort of like it when my team gets ignored. I'd rather have that. I don't know if that's superstition or if it is bulletin board material or what, but I'm more in that camp for sure. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember our team at South in 21, Dan. I mean, mm-hmm. they stayed on top of it every week. They're like, we're still not there. We're still not there. We're still not there. And then they finally got there.
Yeah. And then what happened?
The end.
And then what happened?
And then we blew it.
Yeah.
And then we blew it. We blew it big time. But Brandon, that's what happened.
Hey, one other thing, which is pretty interesting, and you might know more than me because I just check here and there, but we do have a kid that could be a potential first round pick out of Michigan, which is super rare. And his team didn't get picked, which is pretty unusual given that.
Okemos.
Okemos. I mean, yeah. I don't know if, you know, listen, I don't know what February and March MLB mock drafts mean, but I have seen some with him pretty high up there. So I don't know if that translates to Okemos being really good, like how big of an impact, you know, or what other players they have there. But that could be a potential team to keep an eye out for, the player that's that special to even be included in mock drafts, especially for Michigan. You know how hard it is for us to get kids included in the first round of some of those mock drafts.
Yeah, Bonnemer and, you know, Norrie at Northville are kind of in the class of their own, but Bonnemer is a Virginia commit who is anticipated to be someone who never has to step foot on campus because he's going to be drafted out of high school, as you just mentioned. And, you know, before Brian was on his way out, and everything in his final couple of shows last year, we actually had Caleb on the show, and that was my first time really hearing about it because I didn't, as you mentioned, didn't really like pay much attention to like the everyday developments of who was doing what in each class individually, more so team wise. But Caleb he's as good of a player as we've seen position wise, just like from a pure hit standpoint. The hit tool is just out of this world. I mean, the ability he has to hit the ball. I think last year he won them their district with 2 home runs and a save. So if that's any consolation to how important he is to Okemos, he would be important to any team at the state. I think you make a great point. That's the team to look out for because he can produce runs and save runs in one game. He is that type of guy.
Yeah.
I think another, just, you know, getting down to the nitty gritty with the players, I think another guy that was left out, his team that was left out, is maybe the best left-handed pitcher in the state. I know there's some great left-handed pitchers in the state, but, you know, one that I like just as much as any of the others definitely is Brennan Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Grosse Pointe North, Little League World Series guy, 4 years of great success at Grosse Pointe North, Michigan commit. You know, he's getting his fastball up above 90 now. We had a lot of movement. He can run it away. He can throw the slider on the, you know, the back foot slider, all those different things that you want. You know, him and his team are still going to make noise, Grosse Pointe North. Anchor Bay was mentioned out of the Mac White, but they're going to go into a series with Grosse Pointe North and have to face Brennan Hill, a Michigan commit. They're going to have to face Rocco Cardinale, who's a tall right-handed pitcher committed to Wayne State. And they'll have to face Brandon Keyes, who was a transfer in, who's a really good pitcher that I think is going to play well there. And, you know, that whenever you have starting pitching, you have a chance. That, you know, that's another team that has been really good the last few years that was left off. But, you know, we can't include everybody, obviously.
Dan, you are not slick. You are not slick talking so nicely about your rival over there. I know the game you're playing, and the Hill family is as good as it gets. Brennan's a superstar. Drew is a superstar. Was a high school superstar. It's weird not talking about Grosse Pointe North because it seems they've been talked about so much on the show over the last few years, deservingly so, with all the great players they've had. But man, Brennan is as good as it gets, especially.
Well, you're going to see me. You're going to see me do. I'm going to do a lot of "I told you so"s with Drew Hill still over the
you
years.
You and me both. We went back and forth on Twitter, and Brandon in that category. Brandon's been hyping that kid up before I ever saw Drew Hill play, and I'm sure you're in the same boat. He's as good or better than almost any high school kid I've ever seen play. I mean, what the amount of wins that he brings, if you could do a war stat on him in travel ball in high school, man, I can't imagine many people would have a higher war than him.
That's a great call. You know, again, I don't want to go on a tangent, but like I just feel like if more of these Division I coaches were able to come out and see games, you know, it, I realize he never ran a 6.5/60, I get it, but if you watch him play the game, right, you know, he steals three bags a game. You know, the routes he takes in the outfield, he takes triples away all the time. You know, he plays like a 6.5/60 guy. You know, that's just one of those
things. I think he throws it like 93 from the outfield too.
right.
Man, he could go on the mound and beat some of the best teams in the country in travel ball too. I mean, and Brandon can probably agree with me, and I know we're going off topic here, but D1 schools would come out and see him play and would still be scared to offer, which is just crazy to me with how great of a player he is and his baseball IQ. So I know how we feel about him. And it's not just him. There's so many players out there in that same boat. And it's just very confusing sometimes why some of these kids get overlooked. But hopefully we're the ones that can say "I told you so" when it's all said and done.
Yep.
I will. I'll round that topic off with this. There were three guys that I used to always pump up on this show, like all the time. And I always tried to like preface the analysis with like, "Hey, I coach these guys, but also like, hear me out." Ryan McKay, Kyle Remington, and Drew Hill. And we are in March, and Drew Hill is an everyday starter at Wayne State. He is arguably their most productive hitter, one of the most productive hitters. I think he's like pocketed in their top four. Ryan McKay won Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Kyle Remington won Big Ten Freshman of the Week. It is March.
They wanted to ignore Minnie McKay too. You know, they tried. Tried to ignore him for a while.
Hey, and Brandon,
won the game for him today.
Hey, Brandon, those guys. Yeah, those are your boys.
Those guys did play in the same team. Could you imagine if those three guys were on the same D1 roster? They'd probably be pretty good.
McKay is like, is anyone surprised to see all of a sudden he's inserted into the lineup every day and the kid's hitting like 450, 500? I mean, it's just not shocking to anyone that's followed him over these last 4 years, you know?
How about that 23 class? Tommy Schapansky is the closer. You know, he closed out a win today for Evansville. Minnie McKay had the – well, I call – we have a little running joke, Ryan and I, where I always tell people his name's Ryan because he outgrew the Minnie moniker when he started to go from an 8.160 as a freshman to like a 6.860 as a sophomore. So I told him he had earned the name he was born with outside of the nickname that he was adopted as a youngin. But no, no shock at all. I mean, just three dogs, three guys who show up and compete every day. They look out for their teammates and they do the right things at all the time. They're very consistent. They're very disciplined. You know, just goes to show what happens as they're process thinkers, not outcome thinkers. And I think they're all kind of seeing that unfold in real time right now. And I'm excited for all their futures, excited to follow along. We are wrapped up with the 2024 team draft with that in mind. Appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you guys tune in to next week's episode. We're going to double up this week because good old Dan Griesbaum Jr. and the devs of Girls Point South are headed south to Florida. So we'll record again on Tuesday night. You guys will get this first, and then we'll hit you with another one later this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in. It is opening week for those who believe in it. The Bears are playing on Wednesday against D2 Power Huron. Do you guys got any games this week, West Bloomfield or South?
Yeah, but weather pending, my friend. You know how that goes.
Correct.
It's been in the 50s and 60s, and now opening day wants to come, and it's in the low to mid-30s. So, yeah, we got games. Fingers crossed we can all play, man. I know how much we all want to get out there and let these live bullets start flying for real.
Yeah, no, we hold off until we hold off until the six. We're doing six scrimmages in 4 days in Florida, so that'll be the first game action, and we'll probably end up doing some cage hitting again this week, which is not the best, but like you guys alluded to, the weather's looking ugly.
Yeah,
we traditionally go to Kentucky for spring break, but this year took the spring break trip off. We'll bring it back next year. So we're playing this week potentially, as Josh alluded to, and then we don't play again until the 6th when we play Flat Rock, which will be a great game. So appreciate you guys all tuning in. Looking forward to baseball starting up. We'll have some more previews coming at you later this week, talking about what's going on in each division, a couple of leagues we're going to highlight, talk shop about what Dan and I have seen from our teams, and we will go from there. Be ready for a great season of CWB. Appreciate you guys tuning in. For Josh and Dan, this is Brandon. Enjoy your week, and I will say this. Go Lakers, go Devs, and go Bears. Woo!